Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Exodus. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Then the Lord, in verse 4, said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Are they going to rely on me? Are they going to do this?" Now, again, only a loving, gracious, merciful God would do this. I have heard enough. You know, really, if you think about it, this is just something that we just triggers. You know, you've got to be kidding me. You're not even thankful for what you're getting now, and you're whining and complaining, and I delivered you, and you don't like that. Oh, again, it's a good thing none of us are God. "So it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Why on the sixth day? Well, let's keep reading. "And then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?'" Basically, Moses is saying, hey, we're all in this together. We're in the same boat, you know? Where you're complaining against Aaron and myself, and you know what? You know, we're in the same boat. I'm getting the same thing to eat. You're getting to eat. You know, that kind of a thing. And he's kind of trying to make that clear that their complaint really is against God. But they're going to see God do a work. Now, also Moses said, "Thus this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." And I think it's important sometimes to make that distinction. I make that distinction sometimes, brothers and sisters, in council settings. Sometimes some of you may approach me with a matter that you're concerned about. And I may make it clear when people say, well, it's my husband, or it's my wife, or it's my kids, or it's this, or it's that, or it's my employer, or it's my employees, or it's you, you know, and, so on and so forth. I say, well, wait a minute, we got to break it down a little bit and really discuss what is the real core issue here. And a lot of times we break it down, it's the simple fact that there's no real fellowship time with the Lord, no devotional time with the Lord, no time in the Word really set aside, no time really to communicate through prayer, and no good interaction, just a get in, get out of here mentality of gatherings within the body. And the four main ingredients that we find in the New Testament for the New Testament church that we find in Acts 2:42, we find to be prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, and communion in that sense of gathering. All of those four main things are dynamics that need to be in place in the believer's life. Any one of those is missing, and you start getting a little cattywampus. You start, wobbling, Top spin's good until it starts losing balance, Something's out of kilter with it. It's starting to shift weight one way or the other. Again, we're going to address some of this as we get finish up tonight in our concluding thoughts on this. We're going to talk about this thought a little bit further. "So that Moses spoke to Aaron, saying to all the congregation," in verse 9 of the children of Israel, "come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" What's the whole point of it? To know that God's God. The whole point is he can be trusted. You know, that's a challenge for us tonight to think through. Can God deal with whatever your circumstance is, whatever's troubling you, whatever your issue is? Can God deal with that? Many times you'll hear it referred back to, hey, man, if you can get through Genesis 1:1, the rest of the Bible is easy, you know? In the beginning, God created, you know, the heavens and the earth. You know, if God can speak the world into being, there's really not much that he can't deal with in your life, in my life, in any of our lives, in the life of our body as a church, any of those things. God should be able to deal with that if we give him room and the opportunity to do so. He wants to reveal who he is daily in our lives. But sometimes that difficulty forces on trust. What's God wanting all the time? Trust and reliance, right? God's wanting trust and reliance from his kids. He's not wanting to create independence. That's our way. That's not God's way. God's way is to create dependence on him. So he's wanting to create trust and reliance every day. All the time, all the time, all the time. Not part of the time, not some of the time, not maybe. All the time, that's what God's wanting from us. And in turn, a lot of times, because we have a tendency to develop into self-reliance. We just lean on self-reliance. I don't need to pray before I get in my car and go somewhere because it's got an engine. I've put fuel in it. I've got the spark plugs are better now than they were before. And I'm pretty much thinking it's going to drive me to my destination, you know? I just took some spark plugs out of my pickup truck and, well, let's say they hadn't been maintained properly. You know, they have to arc. And in order for them to arc, there has to be a little bit of a gap between the two points. There can't be a whole ball of corrosion around all of it, you see? This causes no arc, no hit, and then you got an engine that runs real rough. That's small engine repair 101. Internal combustion engines. So it was that the quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. Now, the quail, it's not as unusual as it may sound. There's migratory things that happen with some of these birds. They can be traveling. God can design all this to just be timed out just right to make his point clear. You know, it's not, you know, it is supernatural, yes, but it's not some super bizarre thought. You know, if you talk to people and that research this kind of stuff or read books on some of this stuff, you find out this is not an abnormality in the sense that they're haggard, tired. They've been migrating and traveling, and they'll come in low, and you can pretty much just about pick them out of the sky. Seriously. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Yes, it is miraculous because of the timing and all that stuff, and it's by design. Again, by design. Are they just mere circumstances in your life? Or are they divine design, you see? It's all perspective, isn't it? It's perception. How do I see it? And how I see it causes me to play it out a certain way, right? If I see something that God's hand is in it, and I say, I've trusted that God's leading my life, I say, well, that circumstance, as uncomfortable as it may be, or as glorious as it may be, is divinely designed by God. And I have to trust him with that. So we see this here, that he's planned this out, mapped this out. And when the layer of dew had lifted, the dew had fallen on the camp here. The quails came up, covered in, they got all the meat. Remember, they had all the meat they could eat. And in the morning, the dew lay on all the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small substance as fine as frost on the ground. This is the description we have of this. There are a couple of smatterings of other places in the Bible that talk about it. You know, the angel food, you know, that type of thing is referred to. Did they make cakes and put strawberries? I don't see that, but I would have aspired to be a part of that. But nonetheless, this substance is there, and it's kind of a meal type thing is the best way it's described here for us, and that's what we have. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Which is pretty much where we get the word manna. What? You know, what is this stuff? You know, that kind of a... For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. You wanted bread. You wanted meat. God's provided something. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. These are the rules of how it all works. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. So guy's household, the guy that got 10 kids and his wife and himself, he's gathering up 10 omers, you know, the guy, or 12. The guy that's got, I guess, 10 if your kids don't eat as much, I don't know. Miscalculation, 12. Now, if you have only three of you, have one child, two, you gather three omers. You know, it's not a, I love this about God. It is not extremely complicated. And the children of Israel did, in verse 17, and gathered some more, some less. You know, they just gathered what their need was. So when they measured it by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. So the idea is they were to go out. This is what is happening sometimes when we go over these things is God's setting forth principle and precedence for us. Principle and precedence. How we're to go about things. How we should view certain aspects of our lives. And he says, you know, this idea of hoarding God's provision, if you're willing, is not God's design. Now, we're going to break this down into some, because these are spiritual lessons. This isn't just about the dietary things they were eating. These are spiritual lessons for us, things for us to learn about, things for us to understand. We're going to get back to that thought in just a minute. There's a whole thought that we're going to take with that in just a moment. And so it was, on the sixth day, they had gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Wow, this is before the law has been given. This is before any of that. God's wanting to establish a Sabbath rest. Now, you've got to understand, who are these people? These are God's people. They've been chosen by God. Where have they been living? They have been living in Egypt, the world. And what did they do? 7 days a week, man, they made bricks. That's what they did. 7 days a week. No vacation time, no nothing. They just worked. That was their lot in life. And they worked. And God is saying, hey, listen, your body needs a rest. Your mind needs a rest. You need to just hang out and relax and enjoy me. Enjoy the provision of God. Enjoy the good things of God. And unfortunately, I think we have radically drifted from that. I mean, I understand the scriptures that declare in Hebrews that He is our Sabbath. You know, Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. You know, and we are set free from some of these things. But I do see in my own life the need for some downtime throughout the course of a week. And I find as I get a little bit older that downtime is not necessarily just a few hours like it might have been when I was younger. You know, I just find that to be true. I schedule certain things around that concept. I have many people ask me, not just in our congregation, but other pastors ask me. So give me a smattering of a year for you. You know, they just want to know, let me see the whole forest of a year. Okay. So I kind of run by just snippets, but I go over the broad stroke of a brush of what a year may look like for me. And one of the things I learned for me, because of what I do, because of my involvement with people, because of the type of involvement that I have, I've found for me that I take usually at least one out of a quarter, I go for either a conference or something like this. This has nothing to do with, you know, vacation plans or anything. I'm not talking about, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where I go and I hang out with the Lord for a few days or several days, and I just enjoy the presence of God, and I worship. And right now, I'm not usually demanded upon to teach at those kind of gatherings, and it's really awesome. I just go, and I'm just sitting there just getting fed and worshiping, and I really need that. You know, as a pastor, I need to do that. I spend most of my time on this side of this, and it's nice to be on that side of this because I frankly enjoy that side of this also. I like to sit and just get fed and be ministered to and enjoy worship as an assembly and not be thinking about anything else. I try and detach myself from my thoughts, you know, and just enter into worship. But frankly, I'm more easily apt to that when I'm not going to get up and teach right afterwards. That's just a simple truth. So I found, this is after a lot of years of not doing this, brothers and sisters. I have a long history before we've gotten to know each other of ministry. And I didn't do this. And I think it was not as wise, to be quite honest. I think it's very important. Get recharged. It's, for me, the Lord ministered that to me is kind of a Sabbath concept in my relationship with a body of believers. That's just, you know, and I'm not offended with anybody's other views about it or anything, but it's not going to change what I do, frankly, you know. I know what goes on in the course of my days. I know what goes on in the course of my evenings. I know what goes on in the day in, day out, week in, week out. I know what happens. And man, it is just so good to just go away and be with Jesus. Because you see, really, brothers and sisters, my service is ultimately unto my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love all of you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that I'm given to exercise my gifts and be a part of the assembly of believers. And I really, I every day, I pray for you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity God's given me to be a servant here, really. But I'm a servant of Jesus, you know, and I just got to hang out with Jesus. And I aspire to do that on a daily basis, believe me. But I'm just saying, I think that's part of the concept. And I think we need to think through that on a weekly. You need to think through that on a weekly basis. Think of what we box into. I know what I box into days that I try and set aside. All my other business dealings go into that day, you know, that I try and set aside. All my other dealings, you know, go into that day. My schedule's different than your, you know, my hour. I have a different life, you know. It's odd, you know, and I know that. And I know you know that. It's just different. And I look at this and I say, man, this is what's important about this, though. You guys need to be mindful of that. That's not necessarily just what Sunday's about. A lot of you are involved serving. Maybe part of Sunday's that way for you, but take a good chunk of Saturday then, you know? You know, take some blocks of time. I've found that because my life has always been odd, you know, I've been self-employed or as a pastor, dual vocational most of the time that I've been a minister. I'm not presently, but I have been most of that. I'm thankful not to be. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. But I have been, you know, dual vocation for a lot of the time, and it's really hard to get that time. And so I've learned to grab time. I would grab a block. If I knew, hey, that week it looks like I'm going to be able to get away maybe Thursday morning and have breakfast with my wife, I would do it. That's when I'd grab a block of time. Now, you know, you may have a whole Saturday. I may only get that, but it's a good, I'm getting a block, you know, and I might grab a lunch here or a dinner there. That's what I did to try to adjust to these things. Try and take a block if you can. If you can get a whole day and kick back with the Lord, God bless you. Really, God bless you. I encourage you to do it. But rest. It's good for your body. It's good for your mind. It's a healthy perspective. Man, you get weird when you're on the squirrel cage all the time, you know? Round and round we go, you know? It's just the squirrel is running, you know? It's maddening after a while. Take time. You know, if you have some activities you like, enjoy them, you know? Do that. I just think that's important. I don't think, I think God's really setting a good precedent here. And it's before the law was even given. Isn't that interesting? This is a heart thing from God to his people. So they gathered this. He said to them, this is in verse 23, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. That day, and this is the interesting thing, as they laid it up, it didn't stink, it didn't get worms, it didn't. That day was the exception. God's provision. Now, agricultural society also. Agricultural society, brickmaker society. Never a day of rest in brickmaker society. Any of you who grew up on farms or know what farm life is like, other than just Green Acres or something like that, but you know what real farm life is like, okay? You don't leave very often. You just don't leave. You've got cattle that need to be cared for. In the wintertime, you got to break the ice off the top of the water thing. In the summer, you got to make sure that there is water. And you got to make sure they've got, you know, hay when things start, you know, freezing off. And, you know, it's just an endless cycle. That's farming. Or you're growing crops. You're either planting. You're praying. Oh, please, God, bring rain. You know, you're very bound to the piece of ground, and every day mattered. And it affected your livelihood and your provision. God here is saying, trust me. Trust me for at least one day, will you? I'm going to take care of it. Trust me. Trust me for that day. Because sometimes so many people are trying to get ahead by working that one more day. I'm going to get ahead. And then blow a gasket. You see? That one day caught up after a time. You know, and what good are we then to anybody? Not good to our family. We're not here. We blew a gasket. You know? These are God's principles. So it's a principle, and it's something he's wanting to instill in our lives. I think it's awesome. I think it's just great. I realize Jesus is our Sabbath. I also acknowledge that. So they laid up till morning all these things. There were no worms. Verse 25, then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the fields. It's not going to be out there, just the 6 days. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, Sabbath, there shall be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Interesting that the Lord does hold Moses accountable for some of people's actions. Interesting. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Let him just relax. And so the people rested on the seventh day.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today, and I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally, and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus, or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus, or give it to Jesus, that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you, and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.